The following Bass Talk Live iTunes podcast is brought to you by Lowrance.
BTL, coming at you.
Bass Cat Boats, Strike King Lures, AFCO, and Duckett Fishing. Good Wednesday, everybody. Welcome once again to BTL Bass Talk Live, where we're going to talk bass fishing and anything else that we want to talk about. Matthew, how are you doing?
I'm good, Mark.
I had a very, very long day, dude. I'm going to tell you this right now. For those folks out there that are homeowners or folks out there that are getting ready to buy a home, getting a mortgage is painful. Or refinancing. Dude, man, they want your blood type. They want everything about you, possibly, that they could research on you. I guess in today's day and age, because of the collapse back in the 80s or 90s or whenever it was, dude, you got to do so much now. It's incredible how much information you have to provide the lending institution on getting a refi or a mortgage.
You moving?
So, no, just refi. Refi is all it is. That's all it is. Lower interest rate.
I got you.
Lower terms, but it's crazy. And then the doctor. All right, this is kind of scary. I got to tell you this, Matthew. I've had probably, when I'm talking primary care physicians, the gatekeeper, the person when you get a bad cut or whatever, you just go see him and you got the sniffles or whatever. The guy that basically says, oh, I'm not good enough to do ears or hearts or noses or lungs or whatever.
Your family doctor.
I'm going to send you over here.
Okay.
All right. So I have to get a new guy established. My guy's going away.
Oh, he's going away.
Okay. All right. So I went, and it's kind of intimidating at first because you have no idea what this guy's like. You really don't.
Right.
And what do? Every time you go to the doctor, you went to the doctor yesterday, they stick you in the waiting room. You wait there for what? 20, 30 minutes. And then they stick you in this box for 15, 20 minutes, and you look down, and there's the five-year-old magazines.
Mm-hmm.
There's no television. There's no cell service. You feel like you're in this giant cocoon of wellness.
I don't know what doctor you went to. I showed up 15 minutes early. I had to sign some new deal that they had to sign.
Yeah.
I went to sit down. The door opened. They called me in. Didn't even get to sit down. 15 minutes early.
Yeah, but this is your normal doctor, though,
right? I walked
into
the room. The nurse did. This is just a normal checkup.
Yeah.
The nurse did the checkup. As soon as she left and closed the door, in comes Dr. Crudell. I was in and out in 10 minutes, Mark.
I know Dr. Crudell.
He asked all about you.
Yeah. He's a good dude.
Yep.
Very good dude. No, that's like a well-fine-tuned machine.
It was a 10-minute checkup.
Yeah.
By the time I walked in and by the time I was out.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but changing doctors is like changing your fishing line, Mark.
It really is.
You get a lot of trust in one. You know how it works, and then you change it. And
I don't know what this guy's like.
You're like, I don't know how good this stuff is.
Yeah. I have no idea what to expect from this guy. And he was cool. He was all right. He, you know.
So you've got a new one.
Not a bag full of personality, but he's all right. As long as he knows his stuff, that's all that really matters. Agreed?
100%.
Yeah. So, good show today. We're going to have Michael Neal on. And I want to thank everybody for the feedback that we've had on the last couple of shows. Really, really good stuff. And we're going to continue to roll after I get back from New York with new guests. I'm working on some stuff, working on getting some people we haven't had on for quite some time. You mentioned it yesterday, Matthew. It's kind of a lull. Right now, you've got the post-ICAST lull, so it'd be a pretty good time. As long as it doesn't interfere with some of the Cup events, we're going to get some guys on that we haven't had on for quite some time.
Yeah, that sounds good. The Costa on Lake Champlain starts tomorrow. It's actually the first Northern Division Costa of the year. So,
do they have the field out there?
That's what I went and looked at. I could not find a field list. And then the 25th, the Bassmaster Open on the James River, the third Bassmaster Open of the season out of four. So it's kind of interesting. You know, you've got Buddy Gross, John Cox, Austin Felix, Brian Schmidt, and Sam George all in the top 20 of the Eastern standings after two events. So this will kind of shake out to see how many more FLW guys will have an opportunity. We've seen John Cox probably, what, 2-3 times qualify for the Elite Series and opt to stay at FLW, which has proven to be very lucrative for him. Him over there.
Without a doubt. So still some stuff going on, and there's a lot of fishing left on the Elite Series, a lot of fishing left on the FLW side from the Coaster ranks. You've got the Cup coming up next month.
You're going to the Cup?
Yeah, that's the plan right
I
now.
I believe I'll be at the Cup, too. Yeah. I might be one day late. Yeah. Might catch the last two. I got a media event up in Minnesota.
Yeah.
But looking forward to that. I think there's like a big-time country artist playing there.
Really?
This time. Yeah, you'll get a little
That reminds me. We're working on some stuff. What week is that? It's like the second week of August?
Correct.
Is that right?
Yeah.
We're working on some stuff to do some cool things while you're at that media event. We'll talk more about that when I get back from New York. But we're going to have some special guests, of which you will be on location with these people. I'm unable to attend it.
Yeah, I think we're going to do, are we going to do BTL from?
We're going to do BTL. You're going to be live from there. I'll be back in studio, and we're going to have some on the water stuff. We're going to have some just sitting around the hotel stuff. So same time, everything's still going to be at the same schedule, 8:30 Central. So plenty to look forward on that with some really, really good guys on the water, and hopefully we can get some interaction. People want to ask questions. They can ask questions while the guys are on the water. So a lot going on. All right, Matthew, I just have two real quick things real quick I want to point on, and then I know you have one thing, and then we're going to get to Michael Neal live via Skype. Do you know what today is? Any idea?
Wednesday.
Today is Wednesday, but it is National Hot Dog Day. Now, did you watch the Joey Chestnut?
I have not
domination
watched it
yet.
The 30 for 30 special.
Yeah.
That was, it's a 30 for 30 on like the Kobayashi versus Joey Chestnut.
Yeah.
The international.
It's really
food
good.
Yeah, I know. I have to watch it. I'm a huge Frankfurter fan. I love, I like the Nathan's.
Yeah.
I actually got one at iCast.
Really?
A $6 hot dog, Mark.
I had an $8 smoothie, so.
There you go.
And $17 to park. How about that? Anyway, it's National Hot Dog Day, and there are actually some places that are offering free hot dogs, buy one, get one free across the nation. Just do a search on the old Google there, and you can get some good deals on hot dogs today. Now, I grew up as a kid in Southern California, and there was a hot dog place. Did you have them in Illinois called Der Wiener Schnitzel?
I've had them.
Some people call it Der Wiener Schnitzel.
Mm-hmm. Is it a yellow sign?
Yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen one inside. I think they changed. Now it's kind of red and they got a W in there or something. But growing up as a kid, dude, that was it. You could get two mustard dogs for 50 cents. 50 cents. And there was this guy, his name was John. One of the most incredible feats. I always thought that this dude was going to grow up to be a competitive eater. He ate 12. He would order mustard dogs by the dozen when I was a kid and just pound them down. What are you reading?
I'm listening. I'm like planning ahead.
You're on like another planet.
No,
here. Oh, you're getting your stuff set
I'm
up.
I'm planning
okay.
ahead. I'm listening. You're talking about a dude pounding hot dogs.
Yeah. I have not seen a Der Wiener Schnitzel in years. I don't even know if they're even still out there.
I have no idea, Mark.
So somebody let me know. Somebody told me one time they're still in California, but when I went back there on vacation, I don't know, 8-9 years ago, I did not see them anywhere. So I'm really, really curious right now on National Hot Dog Day, is there still a Der Wiener Schnitzel out there? Mustard dogs.
Great, great title sponsor.
Would that not be? Get a Der Wiener Schnitzel wrap.
There you go.
All right, the second thing is 50 years ago, have you seen the stuff on the news? I am really, really intrigued by this. I was only 6 years old when it happened.
Oh, I think I might know this one.
What is it?
Is it the moon?
Yeah. Landing? Yeah, Apollo 11.
Yeah.
You know, they've made a movie about it and all kinds of stuff, but very, very vaguely, basically, the world stopped when this took place.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the showcase stuff that the news, nightly news, and CNN and Fox and everybody, NBC, has been doing on showcasing this event, to imagine that this took place you know, 50 years ago, it's just amazing. It really is. And I love watching the old stuff. I love watching how technology was back then 50 years ago. For us to be able to send somebody to the moon and actually have them walk on the moon was incredible. And we didn't even have trolling motors back then.
I think they're 50. Well, it's the first year that Bass. So Bass was founded the same year that this is the 50th classic.
Yeah.
Coming up. So about the same time that they
I think it's like a year off. I think
it's like we need to go back and see the very first live coverage of fishing. I'd like to watch the first Bassmaster Live or the first time we did the live stream on the water with Harold Allen.
I think it's so cool to go back and look at that event and one of the most momentous events that have ever taken place in the history of the world, really. Mm-hmm. Forget about the U.S. So I have really, really been enjoying all the stuff on the 50th anniversary of Apollo 11. All right, what do you got?
We'll just continue with hot dog talk and moon talk with a little chess talk.
Oh, by the way, Adam in Texas says, I know of Der Wiener Schnitzels are still in Texas. San Angelo mm-hmm. and San Marcos.
You go through, there's one in San Angelo?
Yeah, that's what he said. Anyway, what do you got, man?
I have chess.com posting. So this broke right after the show yesterday. I actually came across my phone on ESPN. Obviously, we had Kellen Ellison on Monday talking about the Mike Long situation, a guy who I guess kind of all of a sudden a meteoric rise in tournaments back in the early 2000s in California that he is alleging was not valid.
Yeah. Sounds familiar.
Now, this is a little more cut and dry, I guess, because chess.com, Igor's Rousis, I guess he's a 56-year-old guy who it was described as a meteoric rise in the chess world. In like 6 years, he became ranked. Anyway, he was at this tournament, and I guess someone decided to follow, and they caught him with a cell phone sitting on the can cheating.
He got caught with his pants up, not down.
Yeah, he was just sitting on the can with his pants up, which meant someone had to be in there. There's actually a photo of him. I haven't seen it, but he got caught cheating, and they're not exactly sure what he was doing, but he totally admitted to it. He withdrew from the tournament, and he said, I simply lost my mind yesterday. I confirmed the fact of using my phone during the game. What more could I say? Yes, I was tired after the morning game and all the Facebook activity of accusers. I've also had a known impact. At least what I committed yesterday is a good lesson. Not for me. I played my last chess game yesterday.
So
I guess
done.
They had all these statistics that were like, this guy's like such an outlier. He's got to be doing something for months. There was suspicion around him, and they caught him on the can cheating with it.
And his phone ended up in the toilet. He tried to get rid of his phone.
Yeah. Anyway, so I mean, it's not just fishing, folks. It's chess.
He's done.
It's
never
chess.
To play again.
I was reading a thing about people cheating in the badminton, where they're intentionally like international badminton, where like the nations were intentionally losing so they wouldn't have to face other.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Everybody's trying to get an edge. You all right?
Yeah,
you
I'm trying
there,
not
man?
To sneeze.
That's right. That's just part of it.
Yeah.
Hey, our friend TJ in North Carolina said, did you see the guys at the World Series of Poker, the dealer-player miscount and the ensuing chaos? I watched a lot of it. I fell asleep. I guess I didn't see that. I'll have to...
At the final table?
YouTube. Yeah. Oh. I don't know when it happened, if it happened last night or the night before. So elaborate there for me, TJ, so I know what to look for when I go to look for it. All right, we're getting ready to take a break, come back with Michael Neal. Hey, the dude has had a solid year, Matthew.
Well, beyond solid, he was fifth in the points.
That's solid.
Yeah, that's big stellar.
Time. Yeah, top five.
$75,000 in earnings. He had a seventh, a tenth. What I found interesting was the back-to-back Table Rock events, stage 7 and stage 8. Guess where he finished? 12th in both of them.
Huh.
Back-to-back weeks, finished the exact same place.
How many cups?
Do you know that?
Did you look that up?
Yeah, I'm looking at it. Based on all of those finishes, I think he might have made all four.
Okay.
There's only... Okay, seventh...
I haven't went back and done those stats.
He had a seventh and a 57th to start things out, so he might not have made the first cup. Then he had a 42nd and a 10th. That probably averages out to the top 30.
Yeah.
And then he had a third and a 12th and then a 12th and a 35th.
I'm sure he will know.
Yeah.
So are you saying all four?
I might not have made the first one. I'm not sure.
We'll find out.
Which has already been filmed in the dark.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
All right. And he's a heck of a miniature golfer, too. We'll get into that
a little bit. He's got your money. He's got my money. Twice.
You know, I've not told anybody the story of how you were eliminated from that competition. That might come up today.
It was heartbreaking. It was. It was one bad decision on hole 14 that really hurt the team. The team of me, you, and the one and only Gene Gilliland.
By the way, folks.
Director of Conservation for Bass, who is a hell of a putt-putt golfer.
He is a player, folks.
But,
he can play some miniature golf.
I was on the sidelines for the final four holes. Well, it did not go well.
All right. We're going to take a break. Come back with Michael Neal. Everybody, stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Sleek new design with easy control file. The clearest images underwater with uncompromising range. Live mapping from the touchscreen. View notifications, video, even Google Maps on screen. And for the first time ever, real-time view of fish movements with live sight sonar. HDS Live. New from Lowrance.
I got my power pole down, stuck in the mud in the bottom of the lake, sitting so still in the wind and the waves, could even be a hurricane. I got my power pole down.
It's about the hours spent getting everything just right. It's the attention to detail. Good just isn't good enough. It's the years spent on the water, day after day. When you tie on a bait by Strike King, you're standing on the shoulders of legends.
AFCO has a new foul weather rain suit called the Hydronaut. A lot of the features that I really like about it first is the speed vent hood. If it's raining out, you know, how a person gets wet is when you run down the lake and the hood comes down. With the speed vent hood, it's going to stay up. It has a camera mount in the pocket on the chest. The Hydronaut has a two-layer, 100% waterproof nylon shell. If you're interested in a rain suit that has a lot of cool features that's going to keep you dry, you need to check out the Hydronaut from AFCO.
The heart of the BassCat experience is the pride of ownership that comes with each blast-off and every precision hairpin turn. It's a rush of adrenaline driven by the total commitment to performance and the knowledge that no compromises were made building a craft that stands up to the rigors of competitive angling. BassCat combines the latest proprietary materials and building techniques with over 40 years of continuous family-run operation and our unwillingness to accept anything less than the best. Welcome to BassCat. Feel the rush.
Aaron Martins here. I'm going to be telling you about a new product by Sunline. It's Siglon PE x8. I've been using it almost extensively all year for my frogging, flipping, drop shotting, shaky heading, worming, jerk baiting. It's by far my favorite Sunline braid. I don't say this unless I think it's true, but honestly, it's the best braid in the market of any of the braids. Definitely check it out. It's a price point line, $14.95 for 165 yards, and that could last you a whole year, just one spool with using leader material. So again, it's Siglon PE x8. It's my favorite braid, and I think if you use it, it'll be your favorite braid too.
Blue Water by TH Marine. Offering LED lighting solutions for your boat, trailer, truck, ATV, and so much more. Engineered and built to be rugged with waterproof and submersible options. Designed for easy installation, Blue Water is available in a variety of colors and styles. All backed by a limited lifetime warranty. Blue Water by TH Marine.
The message is simple. Win. Coming in 2019, the Duckett Fishing Silverado. It's coming at you for $99.95. Check it out at DuckettFishing.com. There is no gray area, just silver. Check it out. All right, we are back wrapping up the week here on PTL. Mark and Matt in studio. And it's time for our final guest of the week. And it's a good one. Michael Neal is going to be live via Skype just here in a few seconds. And I also want to mention real quick before we go to Michael, make sure if you're listening on iTunes, we're really close to the 500 reviews. Matthew, It'd be cool if we could surpass the 500 reviews here over the next, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 days. And nobody in the bass fishing media on iTunes has ever done that. So that would be a cool milestone to surpass. What's so funny?
Nothing. It's just...
What?
That'd be cool.
What's funny about that?
Come on, people. Make Mark's day. Let's get to 500.
It would make my day. Let's get to 500. It's just, you know, it's a milestone. All right. We are ready to go to our special guest. I'm trying to let me get him queued up here. And he's had just a fabulous season on the BPT.
He's working right now.
Yeah. And one of the coolest backdrops that we have had on any guest that we've had on live via Skype. Michael, you there, man? Michael.
He's there.
You there?
Just
can you hear
no
us?
No audio. He's waving.
He's pressing all kinds of buttons there.
Uh-oh. How
about
now?
All right, oh, yeah. We got him now.
All right. Let's bring him in. Michael, how you doing, man?
I'm good. How are y'all?
Doing well. Thank you so much for taking time out. What a cool backdrop there in your store, though.
Thank you. Yeah, it's this is where I'm at pretty much when I'm home. So I spend a lot of time here, a lot of work, but it's cool being in the industry even when I'm home, just knowing the ins and outs and what's selling, what the trends are, and getting ahead of the new stuff. So it's a pretty cool gig too.
All right, I want to ask you this. ICAST just went down. You being in the business, you also being a part of one of the top touring professionals in this game, how much time did you spend on the tournament aspect of your game, and how much time did you spend on the business end of it, getting deals from wholesalers, manufacturers, whatever you do, from being on the business side?
I probably spent pretty much 2 solid days or 1.75 days doing the tournament side, going to working booths, doing videos, things like that. And then the whole last day and the last few hours of the second day, I spent looking for new stuff, looking for new vendors, looking for that hottest new item that's going to come out, and just building relationships for the store.
Did anything stick out to you? Just was there any one item that you thought, I've got to have that in my store?
There was a lot that were great, but I don't know that there was any one item that just really knocked my lights out. I mean, there was a lot of good stuff there. Everybody knows the trolling motors pretty much stole the show, but as far as that one greatest new bait, like a Tekel Frog or Alabama Rig, I really didn't see it. But there's a lot of things that are going to be in people's arsenals for sure.
Matthew?
I'm curious, did you wear your jersey on the final day when you went around, like when you had your store owner hat on, or did you like have like the collared shirt and went in like business mode as opposed to like tour professional mode?
Oh, I still have my jersey on it. The badge that I had said buyer on it, and it was one of the yellow ones. So, I mean, people see that and they pay attention. But, I mean, it's still, if I needed to do a video or something for somebody, I could still do it, still have my jersey and all that. So it really wasn't a complete 180, I guess. It was still a little bit of both, but ICAST, always a great time. Lots of memories made, you know, but I heard you talking about the miniature golf a little bit. So I just wondered if you'd give us a little enlightenment on what happened on that 14th hole.
Go ahead, Matthew. The floor is
okay,
yours.
Okay. Well, we were at the AFCO party that they put on. Coolers of beverages. They brought in the taco truck. It was a cool scene, and we had opted to go $50 a team in the first round. and Michael Neal and his fellow compadres bested us. So we decided to play another round.
It was 25. It wasn't 50.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It makes it better if it's more.
Yeah.
we were golfing for pink slips. Anyway, we all had one ball, so you get to the 14th, where we have a commanding lead over Michael Neal's team. So I decided to get a little frisky and try to instead of it's a three-shot hole, so I tried to circumnavigate one of the shots and chip it out of bounds, back in bounds. We're up like two stories to the hole that was like directly beneath. I got a little too much ball. And I
got a little too much of Justin McClellan's truck.
And I, my ball actually went through where I thought it was going to hit, hit a piece of wood, dropped two stories down, and hit Justin McClellan's truck. So I was out of commission. I could not play the remaining four holes. And you and Gene, Mark, you had a five-shot lead or four-shot lead.
Oh, we Vondeveld or whatever his name was.
And then all of a sudden, Michael Neal turns into Tiger Woods on the putting surface. And it was insane, and they make up four shots and then win on the last hole. Yeah. And now he's got $24 of my money and $24 of your money.
Yeah, and what ends up here, you need to say this too. On the last hole, if you made it, it was a two-tiered hole. You make it in one hole, you're going to get a hole in one in the other, just about 90% of the time. And to win, they had to have a hole in one. All right, there were three guys. This was on the second round. There were three guys that hit it in the hole, but only one of them went in, and it was the very first one, and we ended
it's
up
all
losing.
All kick counts, anyways.
Anyway, so yeah, we took a butt kicking, and Michael Neal can play some miniature golf.
That's what I said. I mean, you had you had three final day championship round appearances on the Bass Pro Tour. You had one, two, three. You had, you know, five top 12 finishes. Would you say that win in mini golf kind of ranked up as your top moment of 19 so far?
Yeah, just to beat you, that was a special part for sure. That's in the top. I don't know, the third place at Smith might be higher, but you're right there real close.
Hey, I have a question real quick. If we had a one-on-one live Michael Neal versus Matt Pangrack, would you be game for that, Michael?
Golf?
No, absolutely. On the water.
No, why would absolutely. I agree to that? Okay, here's why I refuse to agree to that. I came up with some numbers here. So Michael Neal, you fished 7 years. How old are you now, 28, 27?
27.
27. So you had 7 years on the FLW Tour. You were in the top 30 every year except his first year, which was growing. He was like 7 years old out there competing. Six cups. He's had three top tens in the cups, but this is where it really stands out. And yesterday I hit you with some surprising stats on Jeff Sprague, didn't
I? Yes.
All right. These are anglers in no particular order. Michael Neal has over 90 FLW events under his belt. You only have the 8 MLF events. So I'm going to go back to FLW to put this into perspective. These anglers: Andy Morgan, David Dudley, Scott Martin, and Michael Neal in no particular order. I mean, we're talking about some absolute legends there. Percentage-wise, 22.6, 19.2, 22.3, and 25.9. Those are the percents of top 10s they have in their FLW finishes. Can you match it? They're the same. Michael Neal, you have 22.3% of your FLW events, which are, I mean, it's not like you fished a ton of BFLs or anything. You have a lot of Costas, the Opens, and the FLW Tour. So it's the stats are there. But 22.3% for Michael Neal, Andy Morgan's 25.9%, David Dudley's 19.2%, and Scott Martin's 22.6%. I mean, you're right there with Scott Martin, David Dudley, and Andy Morgan as far as your top 10 average.
That's impressive.
That's impressive. Yeah. Now, I left Brian Thrift out because he's 39.1%. but out of that, I mean, that's impressive. You got three AOYs for Andy Morgan, four for David Dudley, cups and AOYs for Scott Martin. I mean, those are probably three of the biggest guys to ever cast a rod and reel, and you've got 100 tournaments under your belt. You're right there with them as far as top 10 percentages.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I mean, I hadn't thought of it that way. I knew I had several top 10s, but I mean, it's been a good time so far. I hope I'm just getting started. I hope I got another 20 years to keep building, or 30, and just keep seeing how we progress from there. I know one thing, I keep learning. Every year I say this, I learn more this year than I ever have before. So as long as I keep learning, keep an open mind, that to me is what keeps me going every year, is not being set in my ways and just keep adapting, keep trying new techniques, keep learning how to fish these different lakes that we go to, and just keep the ball rolling.
All right, I want to go to the instant feedback. Blake in Knoxville, Tennessee wants to know, do you prefer the multi-lake events or the MLF events that are just on one body of water?
I like the thought of the multi, but it seems like an example would be at Winnebago. We fished Winnebago the first 2 days, and then the third day, the knockout round was on Butte Moore. And I didn't spend any of my practice time on Butte Moore because I was so focused on getting through to that knockout round, and it really showed. It really hurt me. I didn't have any really great areas lined up for that lake. So to me, my style, the way I like to fish, I prefer them all being on one lake. But it could be, I mean, if it's somewhere, I really enjoyed that format, being somewhere new, like Falls and Jordan. That was a great tournament. We had a lot of big fish in each of those lakes, but again, I didn't spend as much practice time on one as I did the other, and it showed.
You made all four cups. I believe we were talking off air, you're one of only three anglers to make all four cups. You fished the eight Bass Pro Tour events this year, plus the four cups, plus you have the Red Crest coming up in August. Talk about, from a fatigue, from a fishing standpoint, how this year compares to the past years, because you're coming off of a tour where you fished seven events and six events usually in a cup. So seven, you're basically doubling the number of events that you're fishing in 2019.
Yeah, I mean, one example would be I've never been on the road for, I think, longer than 3 weeks at a time. And this year I was on the road for five straight, never even came home. So it's a little bit different, but it's kind of, I take fishing to be one of those things where momentum really means a lot. And if you can get that hot hand going and you've got four or five events in a row like that, it can really show. So I like the multitude of events that we have compared to, just six or seven that we've had in the past. I even wish that we had a longer season, even maybe 10 regular season events. So that's not going to hurt my feelings at all. I like it to keep going. I like to roll from one to the next. If you have a bad tournament, you just let it roll off your shoulder and start new. If you have a good one, you build on the momentum. So there's two different ways to think about it, and I really like the number of tournaments we got, especially built in the cups. I like the cups. After I fished the first select event, I think it was 2 years ago, I said to myself, if I could ever fish this format, this is what I want to do. It's so much more intense, so much more fun, to me, above a regular five fish tournament. So I was very glad that the Bass Pro Tour came out, and I like how everything's running so far.
All right, Michael, what part of your game right now, your confidence is just oozing. It is sky high. And then the second part to this question is, what part of your game that you know of right now that you've really struggled with? Even though you've had success, what part of your game do you really need to improve on?
The main part, I would say, is really would be shallow, heavy cover, whether it's flipping or flooded vegetation. That's just not my thing. I don't like to flip, or I love to flip, but I know I'm not that good at it. I can't pick stuff apart like a lot of these other guys have. Andy Morgan, for example, we grew up on the same body of water, same exact lake, and we fished two totally different ways. I'd rather be out offshore, and he'd rather be up beating the bark off of trees. So that to me is my main thing, is the shallow spawning, a little bit post-spawn game before they go move out deep. That's where I feel like I'm really lacking, is just that real shallow, heavy cover, whether it's flipping, throwing a spinnerbait, frogging. It's that real accurate cast stuff. When I'm home, I don't ever go fish the bank. If I go, I'm still fishing offshore 365 days a year, so I don't ever really get to go out and practice those techniques.
All right, so where is your confidence just sky high right now?
Sky high confidence is really, I mean, pretty much anything besides those elements. I mean, I caught them shallow at Smith. I caught them shallow at Table Rock the first time, caught them out deeper at Table Rock. I would really love to have a straight offshore tournament where that's pretty much the only way you're going to be able to compete. That's still where my confidence is going to be all the time, just because that's how I grew up fishing. But who knows, maybe next year we'll have one.
Where do you think the ideal location for that would be, where you think that you would have to be offshore like that and, you know, couldn't go up to docks or something and compete with the offshore guys? I mean, is there a fishery where it's like, this is where you got to be out there to compete with that format?
I would say either Chickamauga in late May to mid-June, or Pickwick somewhere in that same time frame. Gunnersville, the grass can always play. There's always some sort of shallow bite, but I think Chickamauga and Pickwick are two. I would have put Kentucky Lake in that category, but I'm not sure the state of it right now. Those two for sure, I think you have to be offshore in those late May, June tournaments to compete.
Michael, having made all four cups, I want your opinion on this. What would you feel about a format change to where you would fish two regular season events, and then the cup event for those two events would immediately follow after those two events? Would you like that change in the way the format is?
I don't know that it really matters, besides just the fact of the momentum standpoint. Again, if you've got two good tournaments, then you go ahead and fish the cup. You've got that good momentum going in. You could have a bad rest of the season and then you fish your cup and you're going in with bad momentum. So, I mean, I'd be all for it, but to me, I'm not sure that it matters all that much just from the momentum, but I think it would be a little better to understand for the fans, for the viewers, of fish two, qualify for one, fish that one, then start over again.
Yeah, I agree with you. All right, real quick on the instant feedback. Mark in North Carolina wants to know, and I'm just going to read it here, did they get Mike's dock completed?
Yes, it is in. We had a couple tournaments, the Costa and for sure, and I know a couple other tournaments where we didn't have the docks put back in, but they were in, I believe, middle into April is when we got them put back in finally.
One of the things that's been talked a little bit about, and I've heard some of the older Bass Pro Tour anglers talk about it, is the ability of the younger anglers to kind of adjust and just embrace the changes. And if you look at the standings, you know, you got Jacob Wheeler in fourth, you were in fifth, Jordan Lee's in seventh, Dustin Cannell's in eighth, moving on down. You got, you know, Zach Burge that's in there, as well as Brandon Polinick. There's just a couple of the 20-something guys who did not make Red Crest, I believe. Just under a quarter of the guys who made Red Crest are actually going to be in their 20s. Being one of those guys, being around them, do you think that was a giant advantage, not having honed your skill set for 2, 3, 4 decades to catch 5 fish and to be able to adapt as quickly as you guys have?
I think it helps some, but I also think it's the style of the guys overall that make it what it is. And when I first started, that was what I felt like my worst weakness was getting too keyed in on something and staying with it. And then as the years have gone on, I've learned to trust my instinct, trust my gut more, and be able to just go run and fish whatever looks good and figure out a way to make something work out. So I can think of several tournaments this year where I've just gone on a whim and done something totally different, or had a pattern figured out that just had a small area and had to go expand during the tournament. And used to, I wouldn't do that. So I'm not sure if maybe a lot of the guys that have been out here longer are doing that, if they're just really hunkering down in an area and not trying to fish new water. Because with this format, you really can't save anything. You got to kind of hammer it all every day, catch everything you can catch. So I think that's the big difference, is being able to go and just run new water and not have those preconceived notions and figure out what's going on.
You're on one of the best fisheries in the world, best bass fisheries in the world.
Yeah.
I just saw a post there. Edwin fished a local tournament on Grain yesterday with his kid. I mean, do you jump in the Tuesday night, the Wednesday nighters there, or you just stay in the shop and let people come in and spend money?
Yeah, I don't think I've fished a local tournament since probably 2015.
Wow.
Like, I haven't hardly ever. I mean, owning a tackle shop, I would rather people come in and do that kind of thing is for me to go out and compete against them. So do I miss it? Yes, absolutely. I mean, I'd love to fish tournaments with my dad or my uncle or something, but at the same time, I'm gone so much on the road, I don't really have the time to put in to practice on Chickamauga that I used to anymore. And it's like I was telling somebody, I'm so out of touch with this lake from where I feel like I need to be. And even in the major, in the MLF event this year in April, it felt like it'd been 4 years since I'd even fished the lake in April at all, because that's always a time where we're busy, where we're going. So it's something that is definitely on my list to do, is to get back more in touch with the lake. And I'd like to fish some tournaments just for the competitiveness of it, to make me make myself get out there and go practice.
Well, what are your thoughts on the Red Crest? Have you even thought about it?
You know, I've looked at some maps and went back and played through my head of when I fished the tour event there. We've had a couple riders events there. So, yeah, I mean, I've thought about it. But as of right now, we're still not 100% sure on which pools we're going to fish. So without having that knowledge, I don't know that we can really put too much thought into it without it being somewhat wasted.
That's going to be an interesting, because so many of the anglers between the Elite Series, the FOW Tour, went there, I believe, in 2017. However, it was a May tournament. A lot of times the Elite Series have been there in that June through August time frame, so they kind of have a better handle on what it fishes like that time of year. But you also remember through Todd Faircloth's win, through Tommy Biffle's win, you know, they weren't getting a ton of bites there with the hardhead, with the frog. So it'll be interesting to see with this format how different that river fish is, because it has a ton of fish in it, and it also has the largemouth and the smallmouth that could play depending on what pool that you guys are going to have to fish.
Yeah, it's going to be a great event. I mean, that's one of my favorite places that I've been to fish, just for the sheer number of bites. And I mean, your average fish there is probably like a 2.5 pounder or so. They're all good, chunky fish that it seems like you catch. I'm sure Spro Frog's going to play, being in August, and a lot of grass things, a lot of winding. Flipping's going to come in. I mean, you're going to see guys doing, just like you said, you're going to see them fishing for smallmouth. You're going to see them fishing for largemouth, all the way from the main river as far as you can get in the backwaters. I really think that's going to be one of the best events, if not the best event we've had all year.
All right. While we've been doing this interview, I've noticed some people coming into the store, kind of walking around, you know, looking at stuff. I'm curious. I was talking to Ken Duke. Ken Duke said there has been somewhat of a resurgence of the local tackle stores. How many times do your guys come in there, and how important is it to have that engagement with the local people, not only to hear the stories, but to actually connect with the customers that come in there, Michael?
Oh, it's awesome. I mean, that's you can learn more talking to these guys about the industry than we think we know sometimes. I mean, those are the guys that are going out there buying the baits. You can understand what sells, why it sells. And I would agree with the resurgence of the smaller tackle stores. I mean, I started this place in 2012, and it has grown exponentially every year. Customer service is a big thing, so people can come in here and get one-on-one with either myself or somebody else that knows about fishing, knows the lake, get some good tips, and it's really a great thing, I believe.
I want to know, what's some of the craziest stuff guys have come in and bought? Either get ready for a turn, or you've had anybody come in and be like, I'll take 110 spoons, or I want every single one of these that you have playing defense. Like, what is some crazy stuff?
Yeah, nothing really surprises me anymore. I mean, I've had people buy topwater walking baits in December and January, and the water's 40-something degrees. I've had them buy 6XDs when they're spawning real hard the 1st of April. I mean, nothing really surprises me, but I would say more than anything is the defense that people will come in and try and buy every single one that you've got just to keep somebody else, especially during the major tournaments, you know, like the Opens, the Costas, or things like that, and you know what the bait's going to be, and you try and order a ton of them, but somebody's still going to come in and ask for every one you got.
Who's the worst guy on that? Who's the worst guy at tour who, like, you're like, oh, he's, you know he's catching it, but he, like, just goes around and cleans everyone out?
On tour, I really don't know, because I'm not able to be in here, but while, I mean, even like the FLW and the Open, mm-hmm. I wasn't even able to be here that, so... It's a lot of the tournaments that are here I'm fishing, or the other big ones that have been here I've been gone, so that's really hard to say.
All right, so what's the hottest thing right now, summertime? What's moving in your store right now?
Right now, buzzbaits, frogs, and flipping pitching stuff, and big worms. I mean, there's still an offshore bite, not deep, but, you know, in that 6 to 10 foot range, dragging a big worm around the grass edge or shell beds, and then a lot of guys are catching them on top, like right before dark, first thing in the morning. Buzzbait's been really big, and starting to bite a frog a little bit. There's some bank grass and duckweed and things like that, and the actual hydrilla millfool is starting to get to the top a little bit in places, so it's going to be, that's going to continue to pick up. So the flipping and pitching bite is probably in the next 2 weeks will be the most predominant over the rest of them.
All right, Matthew, anything else?
No.
He's ready to get this over with. He thinks he got off easy.
I got out of this one unscathed.
I don't know. I want to see the one-on-one live take place.
I do, too.
You know, you got AAA versus Major League.
Mike, single A versus All-Star, Mark. Let's be honest here. And I'm not just trying to be nice to him. I mean, that would be...
That's, it would, like, be entertaining.
That's like kind of the Jurassic Park scene where they tie the goat to the chain, and then they're all sitting there waiting for the T-Rex to come down.
Oh. It's just like skipping a jig under a boat dock. There's nothing to it.
Wow. All right, man. Michael, awesome stuff. Great backdrop. Just a pleasure to have you on the show and give some insight to the fans and everybody watching. So, man, best of luck to you at the remaining Cup events and at the Red Crest. And I know Matt's excited about the Riders Conference. He's looking forward to that, man.
Yeah, there's a couple mini golf courses around there in Minnesota. So
we may have to go Facebook Live with that one.
Ooh.
We could do that. All right, Michael, man. Take care. Best of luck to you. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, appreciate it.
All right, there you have it, folks. Michael Neal, really good stuff. Can you talk about the whole boat dock thing?
No.
You can't?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
I don't know anything
about
it. I didn't
know. I don't know. I don't even know what he's talking about, quite honestly. I don't. I have no idea.
I'm assuming they might have put some more boat docks in or something.
I don't know.
I mean, his store, I think it's like right there, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great stuff. All right. It's funny. Josh in Texas on the instant feedback says, hey, just out of curiosity, have y'all ever done or considered doing a one-on-one live Mark versus Matt? Not just no, but hell no.
No, here's the problem. We can't, because I'm a camera guy, and Mark's like the only one who knows how to run this stuff.
Yeah, but even if I had somebody else,
we do it at Arbuckle every year.
Yeah, we didn't get to do it this year. We're going to try to do it in the fall.
Okay.
All right, we'll try to do it, and the whole weather and lake situation here.
It's getting back. I mean, they're catching them at Grand. They're starting to have the Wednesday nighters and the Tuesday nighters.
Did Edwin
fish
the fishing force yesterday?
There was
old man's tournament?
Yeah. I think he fished it with his kid based on what I saw on social media. Yeah. And I zoomed in on the weigh slip, and I think they got third with three fish for like 18-something.
Oh, jeez.
Or four fish for 18-something. Wow. Four fish for eight.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure they caught them. You know, those fish have been untouched for a long, long time.
There's been some guys out there that have been, but I mean, not
the
that
masses.
Many.
Yeah,
masses.
That's what I'm saying. The masses that happen from a tournament perspective on that lake. What's the lake level? Have you looked lately on Grand?
I don't know. I think it's still like 6 feet high. But so everything's kind of coming down. In the next couple weeks, barring another
hurricane
flood, should be able to do some normal fishing and put in at the normal ramps across Oklahoma.
Yeah.
So.
All right. I'm going to set things up now, folks. As I mentioned early in the show, I am off to New York. Next week, I'm going to try and do some best ofs over the weekend, have some best of shows out there prior to leaving. I'm going to do hopefully a little fishing on Oneida while I'm gone, at least 2, 3, 4 hours, whatever it is. And then when we come back, I will have the schedule set up and we'll be good to go, Matthew.
Yeah, we should have 2 or 3 weeks uninterrupted there. Obviously, I'll be out of studio for a week there in August. We got the Forestwood Cup.
Yeah.
Figure some stuff out with that. And then we'll be up in Minnesota. You'll be in studio. I'm looking forward to it. And then, yeah.
All good stuff. All right, everybody. I want to thank all of our guests this week. It's been a tremendous week for guests here on the show. Thank you to Michael Neal for taking time out, Jeff Sprague, and then the incredible interview that we had on Monday with Kellen Ellis. So if you didn't get a chance to check that out, you need to watch it, listen to it, and keep the feedback coming. Matt and I greatly appreciate it. Good and bad. Hey, we're not perfect. We try to make things better.
Just make Mark's day here. Get the reviews to 500 for you. He likes that nice round number.
That would be cool. All right. Everybody stay safe. iTunes. Enjoy the summer. We will be back live in studio a week from Monday. Everybody, we're out of here.